Hey, Dark City Radio Station. This is Joel Blacker, your astrologer. Tonight's show is about our brothers and sisters in the stars. Well, we see them flying about in the sky, and they never really come down and say hello. What's that all about? Paul, are you an alien?
Oh, excuse me, muted microphone. Hi, Joel. Thanks for asking me on. Brothers and sisters in the sky, eh? Yeah, I've looked at a few things. I kind of don't look at them, I suppose, how most people do. I kind of see them as being dimensional aspects of ourselves. And I kind of get that many things maybe here and sharing this experience with us. But in an off phase of our light field, or just above our light field, I wouldn't call the things, or what you're calling our, I suppose, space brothers and sisters. For me, I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that. But dimensionally, through meditation and also through psychotropic agents as I was younger, and I do suggest you do the meditation before the psychotropics rather than the psychotropics before the meditation, because you won't believe it. You'll think it's the drug or the, you know, whatever you've used. You'll be convinced it's that. Merkabah fields are techniques that we use, known as the sacred Merkabah technique, to increase the vibrational state of the cellular body beyond this, what we'd know as our physical light universe or our visible light universe. Now, a lot of people think that that would involve traveling to a far off distant planet, or you know, the sea turns purple and the grass is blue and the sky is green and so forth. But no, it really doesn't kind of occur. I suppose your consciousness would expand dimensionally to include other things that are already here that you weren't aware of beforehand. In some states, you can actually fully leave and transcend out from a physical form. This can be experienced somewhat through astral projection, and many people, which is, to me, is leaving the physical body. We're actually, you know, beyond the realms of the skin, so to speak. The body is much bigger than what we perceive to be. Most of us perceive that our body is all kind of sealed in by our skin, and there is nothing externally from the body. I don't subscribe to that point of view at all, really don't. For me, there is a division between us. That's the way it appears, like everything is separate. But I'm an individual part of the totality of all things. The only thing that separates me from the microphone is my perception that there is space between it. Of course, we see for the majority of the time that that space is actually empty. There's nothing there. And of course, if we look at this again, we realise that space is full. It's just got so much stuff going on in the space, you know, the empty space. It's not actually empty. So yeah, Joel, it's not too big of a jump for me to recognise that there could be other intelligent forms. I don't know if intelligence is the right word, but there are other knowing forms. Yeah, forms, I think, is the best word I can come up with. And that would be more aware of us than we are of them. To me, that's not such a big jump to make at all.
Well, it must be true, because the universe is in your heart. So everybody, yeah, like, is unifying and then there's separation. And I think we're born and we forgot about the connection. We're all connected and we're playing a game and we're born forgetful and we learn to forget, and then we remember that we're all connected, and we're all actually just creations of our own consciousness, or like physicality or whatever, just made by our consciousness, which is, you know, I mean, you get a brain and you slice it in half and thoughts and dreams don't fly in your face, but, you know, like you were saying, your body is bigger than it actually is, and your physical is encloaked with your thoughts and abstracts and, you know, energetics, and but it's so much more sensitive than this dense gross, like, physical that we, you know, we mundanely experience. But it's attuning to the sensitive, to these sensitivities that will, yeah. I've learned a lot of really good sort of, you know, spiritual stuff off channeling, and people that have channeled stuff allegedly to other, you know, races, or I'm not sure, you know, the terminologies with races and species and stuff, I don't know. I mean, like we were just saying, this is all just reflections of our own consciousness or whatever. So, yeah, it's all just, in essence, all for my self-understanding or self-growth or whatever. The universe is just my imagination, or the hermetics. But I guess, you know, this is the kind of simple play of Earth. If this is the game, we kind of drink the lorca of water and incarnate. And I've heard a lot of souls incarnate on the planet for different reasons. Some are here just for holiday, but some are, you know, holiday in physical Earth, you know, and I've heard there's no planet like Earth. And it's been specifically designed the way it is. I mean, like, call me crazy, but, you know, this world is run by a secret society, and it is just a giant Truman Show. What's going on here with secret societies, with links to world government, you know, elite, and we just see ETs flying in the sky. It's like, well, you know, what's going on here? And they're calling this now, I mean, like, I've seen the progression in recent history since the 60s, just like 60s craziness. A lot of alternative stuff has come in, you know, and I like to say, especially with the late 80s, self-help, I think, is a blessing on this earth, because there were bestsellers like Hay House and all that stuff. You know, that has revolutionized, you know, that has really helped a lot. But I feel with that crowd, David Icke lured all that into the truth movement. But I mean, if you studied everything in self-help, or just before David Icke's, you know, kind of, I refer it to like a Scooby-Doo spooky kind of game, like they take you down, teaching you what is truth, you know, truth movement. It's not fact movement. Like, what is truth? I mean, we could philosophize about what the heck truth is. It's quite a personal thing, I guess. Everyone's got their own truth. And with all this alternative information, they allow you to really, I mean, they fill you in, like, but still you decide how to paint your own world, you know, and that's full of your own truths. And to find real truth in the truth movement, because it is staged, it is all created by, you know, Masons or whatever. Masons, yeah, they are the merchants. They're selling us all these things with their corporations, and the merchants, these, they're mercurial, they're magicians. They're, you know, how people sell stuff, like in the old days, like, who'll buy my winkles? Who'll buy my winkles? And, you know, people be like singing and stuff. It's just like, just people now in modern day with advertising, they're putting you in a spell. If you're not aware of it being a spell, you'll be cast under it. If you're not conscious of it, if you're an unconscious person, if you're living dead, but you know, the people that, I guess, oh, I got sidetracked there. So if they're teaching you truth by giving you lies, I mean, like, with the truth movement, there is a lot of truth in it, you know, but there's a lot of red herrings, and I think how to really find out the truth is to find it in your heart. And if it, you know, and connect to that really sensitive like intuition, you know, connecting to your intuition, and that's true. And with all these, you know, like Occupy being staged, just like the whole, like, all these characters that have come up and, you know, told us all this, this information about, I used to work for the CIA, I've got loads of stuff to say, you know, and insiders from Black Ops, and everyone knows about ETs, and, but I feel with all this ET information coming out, it has been staged just as much as, like, David Icke talked to Craig and Mutwa about it, and, you know, if that's all acting, and they all just made that up, and it's just, well, there's amazing frickin' Hollywood directors that come up with amazing complicated, you know, concepts, and, you know, it's doable. I've heard most directors do channel their information, or their ideas, or whatever. Like, if anyone knows Bashar, he works in LA, Darren Anker, the channeler, anyway. He works in Hollywood, and he's a channeler. And I mean, even if you don't agree with the guy, like what the information he's channeling, you know, it's rather rather intelligent. I'm just so impressed with, like, wow, that's really, really freaking clever angle that this guy's got. Yeah, I've had experiences, like you said, Paul, before, about the meditation. When I was a child, like 6 or 7, my mum used to send me to bed early, and it was still light outside, and I'm like, what? And she just draws the curtains. And I don't know, I just, like, had a game, and I... And it was a breathing game, and I used to just play this breathing game and kind of pass out of, you know, and I'd go to other planets and talk to other civilizations, and it was only later in life, but when I was 19, I found a book in a charity shop, and it was in the cooking section, and it was about ETs, and I just thought it was really funny, so I bought it, and I was reading it, and they were talking about all the other civilizations, and a lot of them were like, oh, that's familiar. That book was channeled. I just really like the perspective, even if this is all staged, again, you know, with all the information given to us, you know, this is, I suppose, run by a secret society, I guess, you know. If all the information is controlled to an extreme degree, like it always has been. I mean, the royals, only they had the copies of the Plato's Republica, or, you know, only they had the literature, and they didn't let the peasants anywhere near it. Information has always been quite forced, controlled. Forever, for a reason, I guess. And these guys are saying all the souls have been waiting to reincarnate on Earth in this day and age. They say this is what we've all been waiting for, they say. Right now. And I can understand that, looking at kind of long time patterns, and this is the end of Pisces, and you know, you've got, this is an end of an era.
Joel, you say that the book you read was channeled, something I've looked into on quite a few occasions. And where the actual, I don't dispute channelers are able to get some pretty damned accurate information. Remote viewers are able to get things ridiculously accurate. There is obviously an extension, an energetical extension beyond the body, photographed in Russia using Kaelian photography. Remote viewers and devices to actually block remote viewers. They don't go into that much time and trouble to stop something that doesn't work. So the works, and it's funny, Jim's just put it in the room. The work that I looked at was J.J. Ertak, who was the scientist that invented geophysics, ground penetrating radar. So eminent scientist, and as the story goes, he disappears. He goes, he used to meditate on his problems, and he disappeared. He came back with, if I get it right, 64 keys of knowledge, which were proclaimed to be the keys to unlock the biomechanical physical computer. That would take 30 years for its activation to be completed. His work was written in 1984, I think it was. So that would have already happened now. So the channel of information, where he was getting the information from, it was very religious, his explanation for it. But if you listen to Ertak, well, he said they were angels. He actually called them angels that had come and took him to... they'd put like a shield around him, which he called a cloak. And they took him, and then they explained to him that they had to place this cloak around him, because otherwise his physical body wouldn't withstand the journey. And they took him into another physical light field of existence, where a being gave him this information. Now, a lot of it was certain things that are already here were assembling, things coming together, certain crossovers between science and religion and esoterics and so forth. We'd start to see that they were all talking about the same thing and so forth. And many of the things that were almost predicted, I suppose, have actually now, if you look back at it, you can make a connection where in the early days, I suppose, when it came out, it was very difficult. And when he used the explanation that he used, he was pretty much struck off by science, extradited almost, you know, demonized. And because he used the word angel, Ertak changed the word angel in his papers to multidimensional visitation, and was pretty much, well, not immediately, but he was then taken back somewhat by the scientific community, because he changed the word. That's all he'd done, from something which is considered to be a more scientific explanation rather than a religious or spiritual explanation. So for me, Joel, it's what are we channeling, yeah, or what is being channeled, and where from? My personal angle on it is within the visible light field, as I mentioned earlier. I exist in this form here that speaks to you now within the same physical light field as yourself and the other people. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to hear my voice. Well, you may be able to hear it, but it would sound, I'd imagine, somewhat different. If we are actually living in a light, and we only have a certain amount of it which is visible, then we could actually be, well, we would actually be connected to through that, we would be connected to the others. It would be the connection itself. So if our collective presence, all of us, everything, you know, the totality of all things, the collective presence of all things in the moment is what we're actually channeling. That's where I think the information's coming from. And individuals are left with the best explanation which is suitable and most coherent to the individual. So in Ertak's case, his explanation and what was left in his consciousness to explain his experience was how he'd grasp it. As Jabba would say, he'd overstand that. He'd comprehend it, you know. But that same information now, when shared with someone from the science community, his equal peer, they would think he'd gone completely nuts. They would have to receive that information in a way that is acceptable to them. So I kind of see that we're all, in a sense, channeling ourselves in the moment. I'm not actually living in the moment. The moment would be the collective of all the light, physical light fields together as one, without the division that we perceive. So yeah, the things I'd look at are visible light field and heterodyne frequencies. My voice is being transmitted over the internet, but when you look at the old radio transmission, the way it was transmitted, if I transmitted on, say, 10 megahertz, at 40 megahertz, you'd be able to hear me again, if there was no filtration used. At 80 megahertz, you'd be able to hear me again. At 160, you'd be able to hear me again. At 320, and so on. The heterodynes exist. Well, it's the second. The first heterodyne is really the second, but they count it from the second double. So miss one out, basically. So that happens within a wavelength, and that science can see that actually occurs within wavelength, that there are echoes, you could say. But they're not, obviously. They are actually just the frequency remodulated again. It might not actually be modulated, might be the wrong word there, but the heterodynes are definitely there. For me, that's time. That's also the past and the future. The harmonics of my experience here, my voice, my motion, everything that I do, actually creates a heterodyne, a harmonic frequency, a double up. So if I'm transmitting in, let's call it one, physical light field one, okay? And I'd also be transmitting in physical light field 3, and 6, and 12, 24, and 48, and so on. However, I'd also be slightly breaking through to the next one, depending upon myself. So as I change resonant field, or as the cellular body begins to, and what's known as expanding. Now, you don't actually get bigger. It's created through compression. Everything inside your body gets slightly smaller, and that allows the physical light field to expand. At least that's the explanation that's given. So then you would break through into the second. You'd be existing in the first physical light field, just for the numbers are just for the one, the need to explain it. And you'd be also transmitting, you'd start to slightly break into the second one, maybe having spiritual experiences of other beings from other realms as you begin to see into the next, or hear, or whatever it may be, into the next physical light universe, or visible light universe. At that point, your voice or your frequency, it's just I'm using voice for the explanation, would actually then start to create another heterodyne. Now, this is the way of it. On 2, it'd be on 8, and then 16, and then 32. And if you look at numerology, you'll find, wow, them numbers all, yeah, they do, don't they? It's really weird. So that would give us almost a polarity, the 1 and 2 of the right and left hemisphere of the brain. When you actually bring those one and two together and start adding up the frequencies of the heterodynes, you'll find, like, wow, it just gets, there could be billions of them. There could be billions. And I actually suspect they are. A multitude of physical light universes within physical light fields that we can see overlapping one another. And individuals are able to increase or decrease their resonant field to be able to transcend through one and the other. And I'd also imagine, I don't know, that the people who have past life experiences aren't actually having past life experiences. They're actually traveling and experiencing themselves on another heterodyne. So like I say, to me, time is not something that is in front of me and behind me. It's constant for me. My words are being spoken, and as I speak those words, they are coming from my mind, which is translating them from an intention which is being created by my presence in the moment, which has no division. My presence in the moment is connected to all physical light fields. So just to recap, I exist here in this dimension where I'm speaking to you, but I also exist, my personal presence actually exists in a multitude of dimensions simultaneously. And through the focus of one's consciousness, you can move from this light field into another light field and gather the relevant information that you require instantly, and then speak it or act it or create it in this physical light field. So that's how I kind of see it. And of course, I don't think it would perhaps fit any scientific principles, but I don't actually subscribe to the scientific principles. There are certain things that have gone on, the Hasendale light phenomena, which actually now disproves modern day physics. We need to rewrite it. As best they can tell us, it's plasma burning in our atmosphere, created by the mineral deposits upon the Earth. It's actually working like a little bit like magnetism. So yeah, that's how I see it, how it works for me. Like I say, that doesn't mean it'll work for anybody else. That's the explanation I'm currently comfortable with.
Yeah, do you think modern science is being truthful about quantum physics? You know, what they're saying about it being conscious and it's subjective and it just spins science on its head, because they've always prided themselves on being objective, but they're saying it.
I do, yes. I do think they're telling lies. I don't think you need any machinery or any equipment at all to be able to achieve it. I think the only equipment you need is actually the physical body, Joe. I think Lee's got something there he's trying to add.
Yeah, I dig what you're saying, because in the now, I mean, it's the only thing that ever exists. So if your future lives or your past lives are just parallel realities, simultaneously existing within the now.
Yeah, just try it. Hi, Joel. I've been in and out listening to you on the kitchen, and I just want to add a little bit to what Paul was saying and what you were saying about the science and everything. And I think what a lot of people can't seem to grasp, and what Einstein, the relativity theory and all that, you've got to forget about it. It's wrong. It's false science, and we've been chasing the wrong tree. But when you look at when Paul was saying about the lights, it's a thing of what cavitation, and it's implosion rather than explosion, and it can explain a lot of what misconceptions of science nowadays. And it's all down to things like the proton, the neutrons, and they're not really what they're explained. A quick example I can give to you is what everyone imagines is a proton. They've seen the animations on the TV.
Well, that should hopefully have sorted us out, and we should be working. Absolutely lovely. If we're not, I'm a bit goosed. We'll have to switch servers. Let's just see how that comes back. Good now. I'm being told it's good now. I'm actually getting it coming back in from our RoboWippy. So away you go, gentlemen.
There was one thing I forgot to mention. It was backtracking, but we've seen like the progression of like information with it's not word on the street anymore, it's information highway. And deciding about all this information and stuff, but we can look back and see recent history and see how it's been introduced in a progression. And I feel this has all been done by control, and it seems like a lot of this information is just theatrics. It's all made up, but it's to prepare us for the next step in evolution, which is, you know, all this stuff that they're talking about. I think it's not to shock us. They have, because us Earthlings, by nature, we're actually really kind, caring, sweet little creatures, just a bit, you know, muffed sometimes, or, you know, rubbed up the wrong way, or like some, you know, but in essence, we are really lovely, like, ecstatic little beings, if we're honest, I guess. But if they're controlling us as a mass on a planet, like, and what they introduce to us, evolutionary, like they're teaching us. It was really painfully obvious. Like, you know, as a child, a lot of stuff, you know, I couldn't believe that, you know, this was a natural thing. I really honestly thought that this was all created by design. And, you know, the whole thing with aristocracy and going to Eton and stuff, like, what's that all about? You know, like, education, like, cool. And then secret information. They really do keep a class divide. But, you know, especially, like, joining the club as well, you know, join the secret club and stuff, like, but it does seem the case with, like, muggles and wizards. There must be, there is a huge divide, but especially with the,
Yeah, that's interesting when you were saying about that, Joel. I feel it's all ego-driven. You know, when you start talking about the people of aristocrats and the people that want to keep information, if they learn something, they don't want to share it. It's their ego not allowing them to share it. Because
family pride. It's a very old family, you know, their families, it's their business. And a lot of them are military or in the church or, you know, in these positions. Like, they are all in big positions, but because they're in those positions, I mean, they're in those positions because it's their family business to, like, look after, mass amount of people. It's their job.
Yeah, well, you've got to accept that concept as well, that most of the people on I deal with, I speak with, have all gone through the norm, what we would call the state education system. But when you start looking at what sort of education that they're given in the private high-end schools, the Eatons and the places like that, they're taught how to own nothing. They're taught how to build up their trusts, how to put everything, so they're actually, on paper, they own nothing. They've got no liabilities. They're taught all that. But we're taught the exact opposite. And they do have that education system where they're pumping out these people that have that mindset to keep and be egoistic with their information. You know, it's like if you look at Tony Blair as a prime example, or Cameron, if you actually look at what is the value, what do they own on paper, it'll actually be nothing. it'll all be in the Blair Family Trust, or, you know, it's they don't own anything. So if they do something and they're accepted as liable for something through court systems, legal systems, they've got nothing to give back because they have nothing. They don't own anything. It's the art of owning nothing. They're taught that from a very, very, very young age. They've got the power of their trust and their family name, and their family name is the trust.
Yeah, law is one thing, you know, them knowing law. And it is a word, it spells, like with law, it is always associated a lot with Minerva. Like, and the same to say with the classics, they get taught the classics. They know of Minerva's spell, you know, when you're watching movies or watching a play or whatever, and it's made by Masons. Like, they're going to be saying a lot of stuff that'll be going over your head, like in-house jokes and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of people say that sort of thing happens, but that's I don't know if that's so much of a paranoid insight on things. Obviously, slight coincidences happen and slight messages get across, but I think it's not as deep and sinister as a lot of people try to make out with the Hollywood. But you've got to remember, it's all an act. It's...
Well, more I learn about the occult and more I learn about Freemasonry, and, you know, the Freemasons, they really are into the Kabbalah. They are magicians. If an old man's walking down the street, you know, like an old man with a beard, like, you just wouldn't know because he wouldn't tell you because he's a Mason. But they're really into magic. They own, like, the biggest entertainment conglomerates, you know, companies. You know, they've created MTV.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I'm resonating with you, Joel. But I also say you've got exactly the same power as them. Right? As a perfect example, I could scribble a note on a piece of paper and slip it to you. Right? And you open that note and read it. And depending on what spelling I placed upon that piece of paper, it could affect your emotions. Is that not casting a spell? I could say, like, I don't know. I've just slept with your mother or something, you know, something ridiculous. It would shock you. It would do. That is wordsmith. That is the magic of spelling. We were taught to spell.
But with the Boston bombings, I think they're allowing us to see the, you know, Minerva's weavery, like the, yeah, it is coming off at the seams, and they don't mind you knowing it. With, you know, these hoax bombings, I think the first one was obviously 9/11. I hate talking about it. It's such a boring, fucking, burnt out subject. But, you know, I won't say any more. But it's the start of it all. You know, it's like, are you for? Do you really believe that the government is in your best interest? I never fucking thought they were. You know, I was a little child, and I fucking made up my mind pretty quick that they weren't. I thought the thing was a joke. I thought what was going on was a hilarious joke.
Yeah, the thing with 9/11, obviously, it's been going on. It was a lot sinister. The only thing about the 9/11, it was a very, very blatant lie that was told a lot of time. There was more of a cover-up. But again, it's all taking the point of view that there's a them and there's an us, and it's a power loss, and we're behind them or something. No. I'm higher than anybody that I know, you know, because I'm me. I am the power in my universe, you know, and you are the power in your universe, as is all of it, everybody.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Joel mentioned earlier about his childhood and the imagination, going to bed early. Yeah, Joel, exactly the same. Exactly the same. Curtains being closed, it's still light outside, I'm awake, I'm like... You know, it's uncanny. I don't know how many other people have been through a very, very similar experience, you know. But that creativity of the child's mind, now, at that point, unstifled. From there, if you go look at all the theoretical physics, you're capable of creating your own universe.
Yeah. This is why I think this time and age is so important, because the soul's being born right now. as a child, they're going to be around information which is extremely advanced. Like when I was young, you know, that like my mum was a spiritualist, like she, you know, she angels and stuff, you know. Yeah, to have children born now, they're going to be stimulated so quick, like with so much information, like they're going to, yeah, evolution is just going to speed up real quick, and they're just going to be mega smart.
Well, it all depends on how they get handled. I'm a firm believer that obviously we can't comprehend this of different generations below us, as our grandparents couldn't understand the rise of digital music and or video games or even TVs and things. You know, the children of today are getting hammered with information at high speed. Everybody's trying to grab their attention for short blasts of time, whether it be a billboard, whether it be a little mobile app, whatever, Facebook, where TV ads all the time. It's just bam, 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 bam. And then when you ask them to concentrate for a 45-minute session, they can't do it because their neural passageways in their brain have created different pathways to what we ourselves, you know, our own neural passageways have created. So they cannot, our answer to that is, oh, they've got ADHD, give them medication. But the truth is, we created that by banging their information, and their brains are hard programmed to access information in short blasts of time. That's why you struggle to get kids of today, young kids, to read a whole book. You know, they can't do it. They do it chapter at a time. They can't sit down and blast all the way through because they've got this attention grabbing at them all the time. And you've got to recognize that rather than just giving them drugs to try and slow their attentions down, because we created it with our society and what we're dealing them.
Yeah, instead of beating them that we used to, we're just suppressing them into paralysis with drugs.
Yeah, it's a shocking thing, and you know it's the
still
same
for a strength of the soul though. I mean, like it's we can say this for everybody. You know, like this is just all a test to see if you're a strong soul. If you're not, you'll grow strong.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Just before there's only like 4 minutes left. I can just chip in a little bit of something here regarding that with children. They're educated. I don't actually think it does them that much damage. I think kids are a lot more aware than what the parents are aware of. I know I was when I was a kid. I knew far more about what was going on in my family than my parents thought I knew about. And I suggest that we do need to bring in more to support what's known as divergent thinking. Yeah, Ken Robinson, Lee, I've just noticed you put in the room. He needs a mention. That's exactly where I was going on divergent thinking. And the way that education was actually set up. It's dead easy for us to all beat up education now and say it's really bad and it, you know, and it's not working correctly. But just step back a little bit and have a look where that the ideology of education at the point of present starts. Right in the middle of the Industrial Revolution, the early 1900s. Very early, I think it was about 1898, wasn't it, where it was first brought in. And this was said at the time that they wouldn't be able to have their, you know, they wouldn't be able to focus. You know, teaching these people to read and write is just ridiculous. However, now we can see that it's not a bad idea to give people free education at the point of presence. But this has actually turned into schooling now. And they built it in the Industrial Revolution. When you actually look at modern day schooling, it's just like a factory. Well, that's not surprising. It was built in the 1900s. It needs to be brought into the 21st century. It really does. It's 200 years out of date. So what we've got is children in school who were bored. Now, I don't know when boredom needed medicating. I really don't. And so, yeah, to me, that's the top and bottom of it. It's not the child who needs to be medicated because the educators can't keep them occupied. That's their job. You know, don't start drugging up the children because you can't do your job properly. So, yeah. Anyway, you've only got a couple of minutes, Joel. Excuse me if I went on a bit of a rant.
That's what we've got. That's why I got into astrology, because I've got a hyperactive mind, and it's just something that I play with, like a mind puzzle, like constantly. Yeah. So, speeding up vibrations, you know, that comes in all different, it manifests in many different forms. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Bye.